Revelation chapter 21. We're going to go through verses 1 through 8. We're going to do something a little different because of communion and all being tonight, and we'll cut things a little short. But when we get back together to go through this chapter, we'll just really go over a lot of what we're going through this evening. But in Revelation chapter 21, we come to a place in our study, not only is it just near the end of the book, but it's our warning by the Holy Spirit that is actually the beginning of an incredible life that we all will be experiencing soon if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's going to be a great day. And I am very excited. That's why we're not going to go too deep into this tonight, because somebody asked me, when are we going to be out of the book of Revelation? And I looked and I saw that we had two more chapters left, and I said, in about 4 weeks maybe. And then as I got into this chapter, it could be maybe 4 months, I don't know. It's too good. And let's dive in and you'll see what we mean. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no more be death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor there shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Heavy portion of Scripture to those who are on the wrong end of the stick, to say the least. God's got a radical plan, and I don't know about you, but I always like getting behind a program or a project. When I was working, when the leader of that group was somebody who was well-organized and, in fact, knew where we were going. And in engineering and R&D type of work, you're not always sure where you're going. You have an objective. You know how much money you've got to spend. You know what you've got to come up with. But you have a million avenues on how you might get there. And it's always great to be associated with somebody who knows exactly what they're doing. And Jesus is that divine, awesome person. He knows exactly what he's doing. We so often go about our lives, you know, hanging onto the reins and trying to call all the shots. And we goof up. And we always blame it on somebody else. Well, it was my broker's fault. You know, it was my wife's fault, really. You know, doggone those guys, they blew it, you know. And it's us so often. Well, Jesus never makes a mistake. He's forever perfect, never changing, always eternal, always God. And he has charted a course. And a lot of people think, as we come through the book of Revelation and we find out there will be liars, and drug users, that's that word, sorcerers, there, and many others. Well, man, if God's so loving, if he's so cool and has everything in order, how'd this thing get all messed up in the beginning anyway? Did he make Adam and Eve to sin? Why did he allow it? If he allowed it, does that mean he approved of it? And we need to be careful when we spout off in our limited knowledge with our little pea brains that we have compared to God, because God has engineered into us the free will choice to choose to worship him or not. And we've gone through this, how God in a great way took a great, I will worship, I will not worship, I will love God, I will hate God. But out of those choices, you only can experience true love when there is a choice that is made. And the fulfillment of all of the choices of all of humanity will come in a time not too far from now. My goodness, just Sunday we went through that special message. And the news that's been happening already. You've seen on the news, Israel blowing up those caves there in the hill country because they are preparing, their intelligence is telling them that at night there's people trying to cross the borders, Syrians and all, they have tanks coming, or they're going to be having tanks coming, and they can hide personnel, armaments, and tanks in these areas. Like some of the caves are so big they can tuck helicopters in there. And Israel's preparing for the war. And so this week, you know, my goodness, since we had that message, they're blowing up these caves so that the invading armies can't hide out. A friend of mine brought this to me. Maybe you saw it. Incredible. I'll hold it up. You won't be able to read the fine print. It's fine print from where you're at. It's pretty big from where I am. Urgent announcement. By the way, this was in the Sunday Los Angeles Times. I'm sorry, Thursday Times, April 16th. Urgent announcement. In the name of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I urge you to read this announcement. The Lord Jesus Christ is very soon to take His believers out of the world, and then trouble such as the world has never known will occur in the Western world and especially Israel. At about three and a half years, Christ shall intervene with force and cast Satan into the bottomless pit, and the beast, the future political head leader of Europe, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, will be cast alive into hell in the end, and then establish his kingdom upon this world for 1,000 years. After the millennium is over, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit, and shortly afterwards will be cast into hell himself. Then that scene depicted in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15 will occur. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into hell. For the past nearly 2,000 years, God has, through his prophets and apostles, commanded men to repent and to believe the glad tidings of the gospel, to acknowledge that you are a sinner and come to Him. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, God will immediately forgive you of your sins and you will be His blessed child forever. There is absolutely no other way to be saved. Christ, who in His person is ever God, came into the world about 2,000 years ago through His mother. He derived nothing from her nor from her... husband Joseph. Christ's birth was wholly caused by the action of the Holy Spirit. Before his birth, he was sustained in the form of God. It goes on and on to say that it goes through the crucifixion from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., all of the things, it goes down at the bottom, and it says, Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is unchangeable, and you will find this in the infallible Word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This article was put in, this is an advertisement section of the Los Angeles Times, and it was put in by Derek Noakoa from Port Elizabeth, South Africa, in the Thursday Times, full page ad. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that neat? That's radical. I like that. That's a blessing. Listen, in Revelation chapter 21, not far from the events that this guy's talking about in this ad here, I want you to focus right now in verses 5, 6, and 7 as we go through this. Now, we're just going to lift this part out. When we come back together, we're going to start at verse 1 and really chew it up. But if we had a title for this message tonight, it would be basically this. There's really one thing or several things certain. This one thing is sure. And I saw this on a shirt, and it blessed my heart. There is a God, and you're not Him. I like that. It's rubbing a lot of New Agers the wrong way, or should I say the right way. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Jesus says that He is the I Am.
And if he is the I am, then we are not the I am. And we're going to look into a little bit just what that means. And so in verse 5, it says there, John speaking, he says, "Then he who sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" I want to lay this down. This is very critical. And Christian, if you're a well-grounded believer, this may be boring to you, but there's people around you that may not know this. And so just bear with me, please, because this is vitally important. It just cracks me up that you can turn on your TV, plop in a tape, even go to some places that are called a church, and there'll be somebody talking about how you can become a little God. And, you know, the fact of the matter, really, in the world today is everybody gets to be God but Jesus. Everybody's slamming the deity of Jesus Christ. He's not God. And they got all of their words, and all of these liberal theologians are saying what he really is to them. And then we've got people saying, "Well, you know, I'm God, and we're God," and all this. And everybody gets to be God but Jesus. And I hope tonight, in a real simple way, we settle something here. Maybe your heart, maybe you're new, maybe you're not saved at all. Maybe you don't know. How do you know? Can you prove at your doorstep the next time somebody knocks and challenges you on the deity of Jesus Christ? We have this guy in Revelation 21. Who is he? He's the throne sitter, for one thing. He speaks. And he's got words to say, like, "I will be his God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending." Now, who is this? It's vital. It's vital the next time somebody knocks on your door with a suit and tie, with a briefcase. And they want to sell you a magazine. This is critical. Very serious thing. We do not take the deity of Jesus lightly. And we need to be able to contend for the faith. And for some of you who will be sent to Russia, it's my understanding that they want you to stand toe-to-toe and out of the Bible prove to them that Jesus is God. And the moment you do, they get on their knees and they accept the Lord, and you got a friend for life. It's that black and white. They've heard about Jesus. I was talking to a guy who's Russian, had only been out of Russia for a couple of days. And I said, "What is your country? What's the deal about Jesus, you know?" He says, "Our country," except he, you know, his accent was fantastic. "Our country's afraid to death of Jesus." "Well, I thought it was an atheistic country." "Well, the government says we're atheistic. But the government is afraid to death of Jesus. They speak of him. They're afraid of him. They speak about him. And they're very fearful of him." Now, you know, that's good news. That means he's very much alive. And the government has suppressed and suppressed and suppressed. And you hang on to something too tight and it squeezes out between your hands, and Jesus is running all over Russia right now, saving people. It's great, you know, through the Holy Spirit. Well, let's get ready. Get your pencils or pens. I know some of you will not write in your Bible. And we're trying to heal you of that. But tonight, there will be a little step. And some of you know this. We've gone over this at the house or here in meetings before. But this is very, very critical. But I want to warm you up a little bit. But get your pen ready and jump on over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Who is this I am? In the Greek, the word is ego eimi. Ego eimi. And that doesn't sound too impressive, but it is very impressive. In verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3, precious Moses. I love him. I relate to him. He's fearful and afraid of everything, and he had a horrible speech impediment, and I had a horrible speech impediment. I'm still fearful and afraid of all kinds of things, and except he's more brave than I am. He picks up a snake by the tail, which is pretty awesome, I think. But look what he says here, after giving God all kinds of, oh no, Lord, not me. Verse 11, he says there, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Remember that. Remember that verse. Now, go to John chapter 8, verse 53. John 8, 53. After Jesus is there contending with the Pharisees and all the ones who were supposed to know the Bible, had all the answers, in John 8, 53, it's rather fantastic. These men are talking about who their father is. You know, we're Abraham's children. And you can just see them. They got their big robes and their incredible garments on. They're standing there and they got these hats on. And their neat looking beards. They're just really well groomed. And they stood there and they said, we're of our father Abraham. And they went on also. They challenged Jesus's birth, you know. They said, we haven't been born illegitimately. And that was a knife they tried to stick into Jesus. And Jesus sets them straight on their family tree. And he says to them, you are of your father the devil. He kind of corrects their roots a little bit. And look what he says. In verse 53, it says there, or they say, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, and he said, if I honor myself, my honor is not worthy. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. He's so subtle. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to Jesus, you are not yet 50 years old. And how have you seen Abraham? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. Same name. Same name in Exodus 3:15. And if you have any doubts about that, read verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They went to kill him. Why? For blasphemy. Because you can't go around saying you're God. This New Age theology is not going to fly in Israel. I'd like to see somebody go over there right now. They'll wake up with a brick in their head. That's blasphemy. It doesn't fly. Why? Jesus is God. Okay? Let's find out. Are you ready? This verse, you will commit to memory, and it's only one, and it could save someone's spiritual life. Are you with me? Everybody awake? Really? Isaiah 48:12. Say it. Okay, let's go there. Get your pen ready. Isaiah 48:12. If you're taking notes, or if you want to write on the side of your Bible, this is key. Next time somebody knocks on your door, or the next time someone has doubts about who Jesus is, this is what you say. You are going to ask them, who is this that I'm reading of here in the Bible? Who's speaking here? That's the big question. Remember, Isaiah 48:12, and the question is, who is this I'm speaking of here? Who's in the Bible here? Are you ready? Here we go. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. Who is that? The answer is Jehovah God. You with me? Yahweh, Adonai, God, Jehovah, or we wrongly say Jehovah. You with me? Now, right now, next to your verse, right there next to verse 12, write Isaiah 41:4. Isaiah 41:4. Don't come up and ask me for these verses afterwards. Get the tape. Isaiah 41:4. Now I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to say, who is this? And you say, Jehovah God. Okay, ready? Ready? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last. I am He. Who is this? Good. A little weak, but that was good. Next year, margin there. Now write Isaiah 44:6. Be patient now. There's a pot of gold at the end of this. Isaiah 44:6. You there? Thus says the Lord. Listen to this verse closely. It's pretty heavy. It already hints about it. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is this? Okay. Right next to your verse, write Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. I got to tell you, while you're turning there, there's a dear brother who comes here. He was actually drugged here time and time again by Robert Brooks. Robert would bring him and drag him, and the guy would, "No, no, don't take me in there." And Robert would bring him in, and he'd sit there, and he'd like just look at me, and he listened to the worship. He saw all of your faces and the love that you guys have and all, and he came back. Then he kept coming back. And then Robert said, "You got to come on a Sunday." So he came on a Sunday. He got so fired up, got so excited. And these people came to his door, and they said to him, "Jesus isn't God." He said, "What do you mean Jesus isn't God?" "Well, we'll show you right here." And they took off on something and twisted it all up and got him really upset. And he goes, "Be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And he came down here and about knocked my door down. And he came, it was so precious. I wish all of you could have been there, because this guy's like maybe 40 years old. And to see the enthusiasm, he comes busting in there and he goes, "People are telling me that Jesus isn't God." "Oh, calm down. Whoa, is that true? I mean, what's the deal? They really knew. They really had some verses. They really threw me for a loop." Sit down. And we started going through this, and he's getting more frustrated. Every time we'd go to a verse, he's going, "What's the point?" And we got to the point. He got a big smile on his face. He met with those people. They were so confounded, so frustrated, and so dumbfounded that they left the house. And God has used him with this series of scriptures in a couple other places since. And the last time I saw Harold, he was like bouncing over a Saddleback Mountain or something. He was just praising God. Because here's a brother just newly converted and able to stand toe-to-toe, you know, with heretics and stuff, you know. And he's just so, it's just neat. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha. Now we're getting to Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Now, who's that? Are you sure? Right next to your margin, Revelation 1:11. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. By the way, you're going to need a real Bible for this to work. Maybe some of you have noticed that. Some of your newer translations, they've left a lot of these out. As far as I'm concerned, it's time to buy a new Bible, get a King James or a New King James Bible. Get a real one. Nobody ought to tamper with the Word of God, and I don't care what the side of your Bible says about why they don't have it in there. And we'll fight about that later. Did you see that in verse 11? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And it goes on and he lists the names of the churches. That's critical. Right next to that verse, write Revelation 4:8. Now, I see some of you with these looks in your faces. If you would have come to the face-to-face class, you'd have been an expert in why some of your Bibles do not have it in there. Revelation 4:8. I feel sorry for people who are visiting tonight because we don't usually do this kind of stuff. And they're thinking, what a loony place, man. Verse 8, and the four living creatures which have, having six wings, were full of eyes round, around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Who is that? Revelation 22:13. By the way, we're only doing this with a few verses, by the way. 22:13. This is the most wonderful verse of them all, as far as I'm concerned. And I hope your Bible has it in there. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. See that? Up until now, we've had them spread out in various areas, maybe two in one verse. Now we've got all three of them in one verse. That's key. Go to Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You with me? Now go to Revelation. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is this? Now, let me ask you something. If Jehovah, you've answered right all along. If you were anybody at my door, I would have said, I agree with you 100%. And they would go, yeah, so what's the problem? I had this man say, I don't know what your point is. What are you doing this for? I mean, you keep saying that. You agree with me. I do agree with you. Well, what are you doing? Well, let me ask you something. We all agree that the first and the last is who? It's Jehovah God. What about the beginning and the ending? Jehovah God. What about the Alpha and the Omega? Jehovah God. Yes, that's only Jehovah God could have those titles. He's the only one in the Scriptures that has that title, and it is Jehovah God. And you say, well, has Jehovah ever died? It's impossible for Jehovah to die, somebody who comes to you with at least two people carrying a briefcase at your door will say, to buy a magazine for about 46 cents. Jehovah die? Never. Impossible. Jehovah has never died. He's the existing, eternal, forever one. Well, I agree with most of your statement, but why don't you run with me over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And dear friend at my doorstep, will you read that verse to me? Is what I would say to them. And they say something like this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, and he said to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Who is that? Jehovah God. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Who? He died? When did God die? Go to Revelation 2, 8. Just so that it sinks in a little bit. Revelation 2, 8. I hope you've been writing these down because these are very critical. And the angel of the church of Smyrna writes, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Isn't that cool? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, is none other than Yeshua, Joshua, or Jesus in the Greek. Jehovah died. Jehovah God died according to the Bible. And there are people who are saying at your doorstep that he did not die, that it is impossible for God to die, and that you're crazy. The Bible confirms it. And not only can you show them in your Bible, you can also show them in their Bible. You can use their green Bible to show them. It's in their Word. And it's very effective. And they'll stand there dumbfounded. There's only one God. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word is Elohim. E-L is God's name. I am on the end of any Hebrew word is that thing mentioned in plurality. You have a cherub. That is a certain order of an angel. If you've got more than one, you have cherubim. I am. I am on the end. So Jesus is Jehovah, guide, yes. The second person of the Trinity of this Elohim. Of Genesis 1:1, Jesus died being totally Jehovah God, yet our God is a God that is one. The Shema in Israel, in Deuteronomy, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yes, we agree. But the Bible makes it very clear. In the early primeval chapters of Genesis, he says, in the beginning, plurality of a Godhead created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brooded upon the waters. He hovered and began to stir up the waters. Isn't that a trip? Imagine that. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, a verse you know very well. Go up to verse 15. He is the image. That word in the Greek is the exact duplicate picture of in attitude, characteristics, thoughts, in person, in personality. He is the exact representation of the invisible God. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what the Holy Spirit's like? Look at Jesus. The firstborn over all creation. That word firstborn is the word preeminence. It's also the word begotten is maybe in some of your translations. It means the only glorified one. In other words, the only one that has come from heaven to earth. He's the only one. He is the only one over all creation. Why? Who is this Jesus? Jesus? What makes him to be a throne sitter in heaven? Well, look at verse 16. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. Well, now we've got the Elohim, God, creating things in Genesis 1:1. But yet it says here in the Bible that Jesus created all things. It says, for all things were created by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him is atomic glue, is what that means in the Hebrew or the Greek. All things consist. By him, all things are glued together, are held tight. He is the atomic glue that holds the universe together. Scientists to this day do not know what holds them together. Nucleus and an atom and all taking place. They don't know. It's a miracle. It says here Jesus does. And so in Revelation 21, my goodness, it's late already. In Revelation 21, verse 6, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first of the alphabet. I am the last of the alphabet. I am the beginning. I am the end. He's putting it into little people's talk. We have a little puppy. Most of you here know Scruffy, our other Yorkshire Terrier. Well, now we got a little one named Scooter. And he's a little fuzzball that keeps us up all night. And, you know, when we want to talk to him, we go, hello, little Scooter. You know, come here, little baby. You know, we look like idiots talking to this little dog. And you're petting him, and he's acting like a puppy, and we're, you know, that's what God's doing to us. He's going, okay, now listen. Now try to get this, okay? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. Why? Because we got brains like the size of peas. He's the eternal, awesome, infinite God, and somebody's going to say, how? What do you mean? You believe that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are God? Well, prove it to me. And look, we've all tried it and failed. Well, there's an egg. There's a shell, a yolk, and a white. If I'm sure God goes, oh, yi, yi. Or it's like water. It can be ice. And it can be flowing by, and it can vaporize. And I'm sure God's going, man, why don't you just kick me in the shins where you have me down? Look, he's beyond anything that this world can concoct. He's beyond all those things. He's beyond our comprehension. He lets us in on a little bit. If we could understand him and his nature perfectly in all things, man, I don't know if I'd want a God like that. I want a big one. That's going to take me eternity to try to figure out. He's so great. He's so awesome. And we see in the end of this incredible book that it's the throne sitter of Revelation 21. Jesus, the I Am. How do we know that? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, man. I'm the Holy One. I'm the beginning and the ending. Wake up! And we get people around that are bound in a cult. And it breaks our hearts because the Bible's so clear and so true. And so, he will offer them the water of life freely. And when we get back together, we're going to go through this, starting at verse 1, real close. Revelation 21 is incredible. And we'll enjoy it together. Let's pray. Father, we could talk and talk all night about you, Lord. Father, you are so great and so wonderful and so holy. Lord, we pray that for each of us, our understandings would be opened wider and wider each and every day. Lord, that you would keep us in your hand. Father, that you would watch over this body. God, that the power of your person would be manifested here. Lord, that you would shepherd this flock. Father, that you would keep it and tend it. And Lord, that you would preserve the work that you have begun here. Father, we commit this work into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.